Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Glad you're here. First thing for announcements, I'm trying to think here, Doug. We don't really have anything fresh.
Not just working on the studio.
I guess the update for turkey season is still going rough.
Very rough.
When do you leave for Indiana?
I leave for Indiana Friday. And then we got Turkey Palooza.
Oh, yeah. Turkey Palooza's next weekend.
Yeah. And then after that.
Illinois is done
one week,
after that.
Yeah. After that, I have one weekend left.
Not looking good for the working class crew when it comes to turkeys.
I got four turkey tags. I'm about to eat a big old sack of lunch.
I ate one already. Yeah. So fifth season's all I got, but we're going to have so many people out. I don't really care if I kill one, honestly.
Yeah.
But I have a bear hunt coming up the end of May with Eric. Me and Eric are going back out. Double Diamond Outfitters in Wyoming. If you're a listener who booked a hunt, shout out to you, and we will see you out there.
Oh, yeah.
Eric and I are splitting the two camps. We're going to fly out this time, I think, instead of driving.
Yeah.
19 hours is a long way.
That's a long way.
But yeah, bear hunt. I'm excited for the turkey hunt, but I'm kind of like, let's get through it and go bear hunting. But I'll enjoy it anyway. Other than that, we're still working on our new studio.
Got the bar looking good.
The bar is in. Everything's looking good. A lot of work to do yet, but we're chipping away on it about every night that we can here. So other than that, I think that's all the announcements we got.
I think so.
To the business, the podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Of course, code WCB15 will save you some money. That is a widely used code, and we're glad for it. Thank you for supporting the brands that support us. They offer more than just one sight. If you're unfamiliar, they have the Tetras, their main line of series. You can even get it in a 4-pin if you prefer that. Optimizer, the Cadet is a great sight to get into. The Virtus Rest. Like Cadet would be one you could get for your kid or a new hunter or somebody that's just trying to get the hang of archery. But check it out, HHAUSA.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Big Tine. And that's where you're going hunting with the Big Tine boys with Joe and Chad.
Joe and Chad, hopefully they're going to get me a bird. Show me how it's done.
In Indiana?
The duck guide's getting turkey guided.
They call it different in Indiana, I heard.
Oh, well, we'll find out. I just like, dude, this sucks.
Just way easier. This sucks out here. No, Big Tine, attractive supplemental feed, food plot seed, depending on what you need. Platinum, Nitro, the Big Tine block, Happy Hour, the cherry on top corn coating. They got all that for you. Food plot, if you're in Illinois, like me and Austin and Ross, we can't use a supplemental feed and attractants. So we're using like Borderline, Foundation Clover, Clover Select, Buck Brunch, Long Range, Last Stand, Lockdown, all that stuff that they have, and even more, a variety of food plot blends that you can get into. So they have something for everyone if you're looking for a spring or fall plot. Big Tine, code WCB2021. Works on everything on their store except for soil test kits because that's kind of like a third-party thing through Big Tine. Also, Rogue Ridge and The Grind, turkey calls and decoys. Rogue Ridge e-bikes have been holding up great, and we have proof of that because if you didn't see our recent photo shoot with Gator Outdoors, we were jumping the shit out of the RM750.
They were tested.
And it was tested. I was jumping it off a bag of Big Tine, and that was kind of like the big test for me. Like I've cruised around my hunting property with it, and like ran over logs and kind of tested out around the yard, but actually jumping it, going fast and like hitting the little trail track thing I have in my woods really put that in because I feel like I'm going to ride it a little harder than a guy who wasn't into BMX in his day.
For sure.
So it passed the test. So the thing is built like a tank. It's like driving a smooth semi truck through the woods. if on a bike analogy, they're awesome though. And also the Grind turkey calls and decoys, super, that applies right now to this time or never for the price. And I'm not saying that they're a bad quality decoy, but the price point is there for what you're getting. You don't expect the decoys to be as good as they are.
Yeah, exactly.
But it hangs up there with the best of them, in my opinion. I had a hen come right in the middle of my Grind decoys and yelp her face off.
I was like, if a hen likes it, Tom definitely gonna like it.
Oh, yeah. They're just being stubborn. But yeah, I mean, $60 decoys. For top quality decoys. That's pretty amazing.
And their calls are nicely priced, too. Like, I think the mouth calls sound really good.
I know. I've been using, which one? I like their names. I forget them all.
Purple Rain, the purple one?
I think I've been using Purple Rain.
I like that one a lot.
But here we got the Grind 3-pack, the Limb Hanger Killer Combo, the Batwing, Red Poison, Little Red 2, Batwing.
I like the Red Poison, too.
I like, Yeah, I was using the red one also.
Yeah.
I opened a bunch of them at the same time and just brought them with me.
I was like, oh, dumb idea.
And I wanted to, like, see the names on them, whatever, but... No, they're awesome. So if you're curious about the e-bikes, the Rogue Ridge e-bikes, RM750 is the one that I was jumping in the photo shoot. Shout out to them guys. Awesome brands. Also, Old Barn Taxidermy. Man, it is good to be good friends with your taxidermist. I'm supposed to get my bear, Sam said, hopefully next week.
Really? Holy shit. Damn.
It depends on the finish work.
We're going to town.
And also, speaking of taxidermy... By the way, check out Old Barn Taxidermy, Fort Madison, Iowa. But speaking of taxidermy, so we are doing the Geyer Buck Memorial shirt. It's basically the Geyer Buck tee, but like an all blacked out version in memorial for my dad who just passed away, Papa Dave, as you know him here on the podcast. Thank you for everyone who supported that and has reached out to me and everything. It's been great. But the cool thing that Old Barn is assisting us with is for that memorial tee, all that money. Or most of it is going to the memorial. And I don't know if all of it's going to go to this one taxidermy setup for my dad, but, we're getting a replica made of the Geyer Buck to mount for the studio so people can see it there and I can hold on to the original. And then we're making another replica so we can bring it to shows and events and stuff that we attend so people can actually like handle the buck. And I'm going to get some stuff made for around the Geyer Buck mount.
That's really and cool remembrance. Idea.
Yeah.
Old Barn's being awesome.
Oh, they're being great. Sam's been so cool about it. He's
everyone reaching out and then buying the tees.
It's really cool. We sold a lot of them. And that goes for another 2 days if you're listening to this. Probably through the weekend, this coming weekend. So first weekend of May, it'll end. But yeah, and then we're going to hit my dad's last buck. We're going to do some sort of memorial on the back of it, on the back of the mountain, in leather and stuff.
That's a badass idea.
Old Barn kills it, man. They're out of this world. Top-notch people, top-notch taxidermy, and just...
It's nice going to a taxidermy place and, like, they help you with ideas instead of, like, what do you want?
It's kind of like going to a tattoo shop. If your tattoo artist is a dick,
what do you want? You want that? Fine.
Well, they're intimidating. Like, taxidermy shops can be intimidating in a different way than... Taxidermy shops can be intimidating in a different way than a tattoo shop can be, but still, some people go in not knowing what they want or what they need, even, you know? So it's nice to have that, like, confidence and help. Also, Scent Crusher, rapid mobile shower to the locker, the roller bag, the gear bag, the room clean, the boot dryer is an Overlook product by Scent Crusher. We use the Ozone or the room clean, I apologize, every single day. I'm in the new studio that we're building now.
Going to need a bunch.
There's going to be one in every room. Yeah. So if you do happen to come to the studio and hang out with us or podcast with us, you'll get to test and use Scent Crusher products.
Go ahead and turn it on when you see it on the wall.
Yeah. Well, poop and then turn it on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the closet, I imagine we're going to have a closet set up. So that'd be cool people can see. I probably set one up for when people come in from out of town to go hunting and stuff. They can use it. But, yeah, check out scentcrusher.com. And also Elite Archery, everything outdoor group, which owns Elite. Code WCB works for them. But, I mean, right now, really, Elite has a bow for everyone. The Encore, the Remedy. I have a Remedy that I haven't set up yet. I'm still shooting the Cure. I'll probably shoot that through Turkey Palooza just with everything going on. I'm hoping I have my Remedy ready for bear season, but I got to hustle.
I was thinking about taking my Result with me since McDaniels are right there.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. You should do that.
I mean, I probably could take
yours. You can hunt all day for
bird. I could take yours too, right?
Oh, shit. We should call Josh.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay.
That's not a bad idea, right?
That's a great idea. I don't know. He could probably just get it.
No, I guess you're peeping stuff.
He could get it set up, and then Ross could kind of fit it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll call him after this.
We'll talk about
it. But, yeah, Elite Archery. Absolutely love it. We shot Elite for, I mean, I don't know how many years it's going on. 4 or 5 years now?
I think more than that, right?
I don't know. I'm thankful for them. I love them. I kind of wish I would have kept all my old bows because it'd be kind of neat to have a library.
I got them all.
You can have them all?
Yeah.
God dang. Unnecessary, but awesome.
Unnecessary, but it's nice to look at.
Well, cool. Well, we're going to do a veteran shout out once we get into the podcast here. Mm-hmm. But appreciate you guys supporting us through kind of all the hard times of, you know, the last few weeks. But it's time to make 2021 our bitch now. Onward. Let's kill some turkeys. Let's kill some bears. And, let's kill the podcast game and have a good time doing it.
Let's do that.
By the way, it's just me and Doug this episode. Yeah. So
there's no one else here.
Let's do it, Doug. All right. Hope you enjoy. Boys,
Working Class Bowhunter.
Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter podcast. It is episode 445. I had to look at my notes. Damn, almost a 450.
We're getting up there.
Cutting in there. Just Doug and I in the studio as hosts, and we have two in-studio guests here at whatever we call this studio. I don't know if we ever came with a name for this, but anyway, it doesn't matter. We got the guys behind Galesburg Archery Club in the house. Got Mr. Matt. What's up, brother?
What's up?
And then we got Mr. William. What's up, man?
What's up?
Thank you guys for coming in.
Whatever you want to call him.
No time. No
yeah.
Problem. Whatever.
William's our working class misfit. Anytime we get like a misprint of working class bow hunter merch, like, for example, a logo printed upside down on a hat or the front of a shirt printed on the back of a shirt. Actually, that's kind of like a two-in-one shirt you're wearing. You're wearing the classic working class shirt with like the logo lettering.
I actually don't mind that shirt.
It's pretty cool. The logo lettering and like the like where a pocket would be on the left side of your chest. And then the Go Shoot Your Bow logo on the back. Don't know how it happened, but it's kind of awesome. So he gets all our misprinted, like, you're kind of, you know how, like the NFL, like, Super Bowl, like, the non-winning team, all those shirts get sent to, like, a third world country?
So I'm a third world country is what you're
for
saying.
For working class bowhunter merch, yes.
Your word's not ours.
Yeah, I mean, you said it.
I don't want up to it. I don't care.
You're that shithole country that we send all our misfit merch to. okay,
great
that
guy,
sounded
great
bad.
Great guy, though. Great guy.
Not that those are, they're just...
Black sheep of the family, whatever.
Yeah, call it what you will. But thanks for coming in studio, guys. We've been talking about this for a while. To bring everyone up to speed before we get into things, we're going to do a veteran shout-out here. The Shoot is now where the home – Galesburg Archery Club is now home of the Working Class Bowhunter Shoot. And we're going to get into that in a little detail here. But I think first we should do a veteran shout-out.
This veteran shout-out is brought to you by HHA USA. It's Operation HHA USA. Check them out at HHAUSA.org. Their mission is to show appreciation and create a sense of community for veterans and active military through archery in the outdoors.
And we still have not picked a 3D shoot that we're going to for HHA USA. I'm going to write that
we'll
down.
Figure it out. This one's a long one, but it was sent by David. Oh, man, it's a hard name. Bayback. The veteran is Nathan Ligas. He's in the Army. Says, this is my fiance's cousin who couldn't be any more prouder of. Nate is such an awesome dude who currently don't get to see enough of. But here's what he wrote when I asked him exactly what he does. Says, so I'm in the Army, in active duty. I'm a staff sergeant and primary MOS is a 19K. Hopefully I'm saying all this right. Which is an M1 armored crewman. I'm a tank commander on the M1A2 is the SEP, V2, main battle tank. I am in charge of a little over $14.7 million worth of equipment and over $25 million worth in personnel. My main focus is to close with and destroy the enemies of the Constitution of the United States, both foreign and domestic. While stateside, my main focus is to properly train and care for soldiers appointed under me, as well as to execute the task and orders given to me by the officers appointed over me. He's going to have his time served here in the next year and can't wait for my man to come back home and do so much hunting with me. For hunting and archery experience, it says, grew up hunting and fishing that all his dad and uncles do. Our family has a nice camp up in Sterling, PA. Sterling Run, PA. Right in the heart of our game and lands. I know he shoots bows and guns, but he left for the Army right as I was getting to know him. But I know he is an old... Ooh, how do you say this? He has an old... bow and lots of guns. I don't know.
Let me see.
They say this bow at the bottom.
Oneida?
Is it Oneida?
I'm guessing. Where's where we at?
Honey. Oneida?
Yeah, he has an old Oneida bow and lots of guns.
Never heard of Oneida.
Yeah. What? Yeah, you really? Have. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Tim Wells shoots them.
Yeah, you know the bow fishing bows? Looks like they got like double limbs.
Yeah.
They
look like a recurve.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome.
That was a long one.
You need hooked on Fahenix.
Yeah, dude, I was struggling there. I got ahead of myself. My brain couldn't comprehend.
Just got to look at me. I'm like, it's an Army term. I have no
idea. I was just making sure I was doing anything right.
Well, awesome, man. Thanks for your service, Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan.
And thanks, David, for sending that in. David's a big supporter. He's a hardcore listener. We appreciate the hell out of him. I see his name a lot pop up, so super thankful for that, man. Yeah, thank you
for your service, and thanks for submitting that, David.
Yeah. You can submit a veteran shout-out, workingclassbowhunter.com. Hit the contact tab, and there's a button in there. to fill all the information out. Help Doug with spelling. And if somebody could get him like a free subscription to Hooks on.
Yeah, dude, that was tough.
Phoenix. That would be great, too, just to help that go a little smoother. Billiam, you're a veteran as well, huh?
Yes, sir.
Tell us about it.
I served from 85 to 95 in the United States Air Force. I was a munition system specialist, which if you basically break it down, I built bombs.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Whether you see them on the wingtips of the F-16s, which are the AIM-9 missiles or AIM-7 missiles, all that stuff I was. I had the opportunity to go to New Mexico for 30 days and do testing on some new bombs they came out with, the new warheads.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
See what it can do to concrete. And
no kidding.
It was a pretty awesome experience to see
I bet.
I was actually at White Sands Missile Range, which is where they also detonated the nuke.
Oh, no shit.
So if you've never seen green glass, go there. You'll see it.
Really?
It turned sand to glass, and it's green.
No kidding. Wow.
And I've never been to Africa, but while I was over there, we were driving down the road, and there was a Gemsbok standing on the side of the road. And the dude's like, be careful, because if they get mad, they charge the car, and he's seen it where they'll tilt their head down, and they shove the horns right through the car doors.
No shit?
Yeah.
Were they all mad from radiation, or what the hell's going on?
Who knows? But it was a pretty cool experience to be over there and see. It's different things. I spent a year in Daegu Air Force Base in Korea.
Yeah.
I spent 6 months in Saudi Arabia.
No shit.
It's pretty fun over there.
Was it fun? Yeah. Like, are you being sarcastic?
No, it was. For me, it was.
Yeah.
We got to do a lot of shit. We got to go out and play in the sand, go chase scorpions, sand vipers, all kinds of crap.
Well, that sounds fun. Yeah. Great.
You know, but like I said, some of the stuff over there is pretty cool. You go downtown, you watch some of the stuff that goes on, you know, like we talk about here about stealing and stuff. Over there, they don't really lock their doors. Like here, over there, they just pull the little gate closed. Mm-hmm. So you can stick your hand inside and steal anything you want. But if you're caught, they will cut your hand off.
I've heard that.
Out. After I left, I read they had 3 beheadings because the guys were smuggling drugs in.
No shit.
Wow. He did not play games over there.
Well, I mean, hey. Yeah, I mean, how bad do you want to steal something, yeah. I guess. I guess if you're excited if you really need it or not. If you need it more than your hand.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. I'll make you think twice.
Well, yeah. Thank you for your service, man.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that's something we try to do for veterans, and I don't feel like it's – I mean, maybe it's cool to do, but I don't – I mean, it's just something small that we think that we should do, you know. But we try to do it. We have fun doing it, and it's cool to give – recognition, at least on our platform, right. For what we can do. Yeah. So
I appreciate it.
It's fun.
All that to do.
Yeah, we got a lot of submissions now. So
we do.
Yeah, we're back stock for a while.
Yeah, we got dry, but I think we started talking about it that we needed more.
Yeah.
So
people hooked us up. So thank you for that.
Awesome. Well, cool. We'll chip through them all. We we're not going to skip one. So if it's in there, it's in there.
I got them all.
Awesome. Let's talk Galesburg Archery Club.
Okay.
Local business to us. We're from the same realm of same industry in the same area. So kind of the same industry.
It's meant to be.
Bow hunting, archery.
It's not a business. It's a not-for-profit. So
well,
we're just trying to float by and keep our building paid for and our lease paid up, so we got places to do it.
Well, I think it's still fitting to say support local business.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. If our local shooters don't support us, then we'll close up and there won't be nothing for nobody.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So Galesburg, if you guys are unfamiliar, we're in New Windsor, Illinois, is the HQ for working class bow hunter. Galesburg is just south of us. I mean,
15 minutes.
Yeah, yep. Right there. The archery club is, really close.
Yeah, like 10 minutes from your house.
Yeah. So the shoot is technically Rio, Illinois, isn't it?
Rio. Yep.
Is it Rio or Rio?
Rio.
Rio, Illinois. Awesome outdoor course. I'll talk about what I know about the club. And then you guys go into detail, because from my perspective, it's a great 30 target, generally 3D course. And I want to get into that a little bit too, because I found a lot of listeners when we talk about 3D archery, a lot of people have never shot on a 3D course or are intimidated by it or want to go, but don't know like what clubs are near them or anything like that. But great family friendly course, all ages, all skill levels can go and have a great time. I mean, that's the most basic overview.
Yep. I'm there to help 90% of the time. Bill will help me. Mm-hmm. William.
I got the other 10%.
The other 10%.
Yeah.
I carry a box that has just about every archery thing you could ever think of that needs it. A portable bow press,
mm-hmm.
All that stuff. If there's a kid's bow or something that breaks down, if I can fix it, I got the parts, it's fixed.
That's
like
awesome.
That kid can go back out and shoot. Mm-hmm. So a lot of your older, your newer bows and stuff, for us adults and stuff like that, something blows up on that, I'm probably not going to be able to fix it.
Yeah.
Right there. But other than that, if there's something out there for a kid or anything to keep him interested in it, I'm there. So
that's awesome, man.
I was like, I donate all my time to kids' classes that I teach for free at the indoor range. Then I volunteer for 4-H for Knox County. So I teach kids all summer long for 4-H archery. So
that's awesome. So the club has an indoor range, which is in town, Galesburg.
Yep.
And that, how long is like the indoor league or shoots go for?
Indoor is, if you're a member of the club, you got 24-hour access to the indoor range and the outdoor range. If it's nice, sunny outside, you want to shoot outside, we got 50-yard bag targets outside.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out there and shoot. Indoor range is 35 yards that you can go, like I said, 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
We got brand-new Morrell M48 backstops, so it's easy to pull your arrow out.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, like I said, you got 24-hour access to the place.
Yeah, indoor is cool because a lot of people don't have a spot to shoot at their house, especially if you live in town.
Yep.
You know, if you live around Galesburg, Illinois, you can sign up, and if you want to, you get the hankering after season, you're getting cabin fever, you can run right over and shoot, which is cool.
Perfect day today. It's raining outside. You can't shoot. Even if you have an outdoor range, you go there and go indoors and shoot for a couple hours.
Right, and be comfortable and not have wind affect you and all that crap.
Not only that, if you're a beginner, start at a club.
Yeah.
I was like, especially an indoor range like we got, you're not going to lose your arrows. I was like, if you shoot outside,
might break one, but you won't lose it.
Yeah.
Put one into the ceiling on accident.
Put one into the ceiling or the lights. Yep. So
how often does that happen? Not that it's a big deal, right?
We haven't had a light break in a long time.
Yeah.
We've had a lot. We got a couple ceilings, a couple high and low shots.
A close calls.
Some high draws, huh? Nice.
Mm-hmm. So you bounce some off the floor and it goes up. So it happens. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
D-loop breaks, you know. I mean,
yeah, that's
that's true.
Or your release gives out and punch yourself in the face.
Yeah, like he did.
Break your nose.
I've seen that happen a lot.
No, it hurt, dude.
Oh, I bet. You're hitting yourself in the face at 70 pounds, pretty much, or more.
We were laughing, but.
Right. You idiot. And what's like, it just happens. Eric had it happen.
Yeah, like just an unexpected face punch yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened to Allie on league night.
Yeah, her D-loop broke.
Her D-loop broke, and luckily, when she was pulling back, it snapped, and she went by her face.
I had my when I lived in Sherrard, I was shooting in my backyard, and I had my D-loop. I don't know what happened. I think the D-loop snapped. It cut, and I was at, like, three-quarter draw, so I got lucky that I didn't hit myself, but I was in town, and my arrow went flying. I was like, oh my god, like I just sent one into the neighbor's like golden retriever or something, you know.
So you're the guy who stuck the fan on the bin, huh?
That's not me. Did that happen somewhere?
Yeah, there's a picture where there's a fan spinning on a roof.
Uh-huh.
There's an arrow stuck through it.
No kidding.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
I seen one with like on a power line. There's an arrow.
Yeah, I've seen that one too.
No shit.
Kudos to that guy for hitting the power line that big.
What would happen probably nothing, right? Just like,
it depends on if it broke the strands of wire in there or not.
So. He might have just split them.
Yeah, he probably just split it. But
yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't want to see the Ameren bill when he gets it. But
no shit, right?
Wasn't my arrow.
Not me. It's the neighbor. I'm a better shot than that. So the indoor course, and then describe the outdoor course.
Outdoor course is 30 targets. We got a couple of tower stands that just like shooting out of a tree stand that
those are
shoot
awesome.
Off of platforms. If you want to call them that.
Mm-hmm.
Then basically you just walk a course and it takes about an hour and a half to do our course to get all the way through it. It's 30 targets, one arrow per target for $10. I mean,
yeah, that's a deal.
Cheap entertainment. If you don't miss, you can get through the course pretty quick.
Yeah,
definitely. You got to look for arrows in our timber. It's pretty thick back behind the targets. But
makes it fun and realistic and shaded, which is nice. I think there's misconceptions about 3D archery that – you always hear about the Levi Morgans and stuff, and I think people assume it's like a local tournament. And that's not the case.
No, you're competing against yourself. We go out and we shoot against each other and have a good time.
Yeah.
But if you come there to shoot, you're competing with yourself. You're not
even need to keep score.
No.
No.
You know?
So don't, if you're a first time, you keep score if you want to, but I prefer you don't.
Yeah.
Go out, just have fun. I was like, don't miss the target. And you do not have to shoot at my stakes.
Yeah.
I was like, if you feel comfortable shooting 20 to 30 yards, stand in between my stakes. You don't have to stand right at the stake and guess it. It's like, stand where you feel comfortable, shoot the target.
Yeah, and then that's what I feel like when we were promoting the shoot and stuff, even still, and it's not anyone's fault, they just don't know. They're like, man, I want to go, but I haven't really shot a lot this year, and I don't want to get – it doesn't matter.
Nope.
It's not a competition. Like, if you've seen the working class bow hunter, like, tight-knit circle go through the shoot, we're bare, like, we don't even keep score. We're, like, kind of making it fun. We're heckling each other, just having a good time while the other person's shooting. And
it's all about, really. I mean –
we like, when we go together in a crew, when it's, like, at the shoot, all of us, like, we kind of have, like, friendly wagers when it's just us going through normally. But it's – we're kind of making fun of each other, but we're also encouraging each other, too. It's like a weird vibe. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you want to see your buddies do well, but we're going to shit talk them a little bit just to make it
you
fun.
You want to see them do well, but not as good as you.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Well, you got to put the pressure on them,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, we got a thing that we come up with at the club. It's a skins. And everything else just looks like a little keychain.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else. Well, when we get out on the course, it's like, I'll bet you a skin, I'll get a 10, you know, beat, you know.
A skin? Everything else. What
and
is
you
it?
Pass that back and forth.
What is it?
It's just like a little keychain.
You know, little, like a little plastic tabs key you get chain? To put to go to like a gas station, you ring it and get a discount or something.
Yeah,
it's like that, but it's white and it's got the archery club logo on it.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, we call it a skin and everything else. So you can bet your buddies. It's like, all right, it's like, you know. A skin that I get top score out of all of this by the day is over with. Well, then you can make challenges and stuff while you're out on the range.
To get the skin.
Get more skins. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, God. So what we used to do, we should probably bring this back. We talk about bringing this back all the time, but it's like just life happens and we just don't do. We used to do every single 3D shoot from Morrison to Galesburg and Davenport Valley Archers. And we went to a couple others. But we had a shitty Walmart WWE belt that we shot for, and we shot for it at every 3D shoot. And then we just, like, became less consistent with going to all the 3D shoots. When it's like we have kids and get married and we're doing – not the podcast is keeping us busy, which is great. It's good problems to have. But that's something I should dig it out.
That was before my time.
That was before you were
I never got to touch the belt.
Yeah, that's where you were full-time on the podcast.
I'd probably just keep it, though, with me the whole time.
Maybe. I don't know.
You got to defend it. You can't just win it and then put my
belt on. I'm the reigning champ.
Right. Yeah. Well, what we did was we had like on the window at our other studio we had like a dry erase marker on the window. We had a rolling tally for your total 3D score for the year. So we kept track of we had all the cards from every club and course we went to, and you had a total like year points. Like
that's what's on the window? I'm trying to figure out what that was.
Remember all the writing and the tallies
there's
and the
a bunch
numbers?
Of writing on there.
Yeah, that's what that was. And it's honestly, we left it on there for like 2 years before we moved out of that studio. I bet you they can't even get it off the window. So sorry, whoever bought my old house.
What do these numbers mean?
But anyway, like it's that fun. Like you make with 3D archery like that, you make it as fun as you can make it.
Yep.
You know, it's all up to you. And for people who've never done it, it's golf with a bow. It's Frisbee golf with a bow.
Yeah. Yep.
It's essentially the best way to explain it, I think, right?
Stress reliever for a lot of people.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like a lot of guys with traditional equipment just run through and shoot for kill, what they consider a kill shot, and they're on their
they're
way.
They're gone. Yep.
That's cool.
No score. I killed it. I'm next target.
Which is fun. Like, that's a great thing. How do you guys feel? You guys shoot at a lot more targets than we ever will. Like, that's what you guys do all the time. Do you shoot at dots a lot, or do you find that you ignore score rings when it gets close to season and just shoot?
No, when the indoor range, I actually got dots. I got half-inch dots. I got one-inch dots.
Mm-hmm.
And we put them on the targets, and I'll go for 14s. I was like, if you want to go for the 14, you got to hit the dot.
It
doesn't matter where the 14 is, you know, that's actually on the vitals of the 3D target, because most of them come with a 14. Well, I'll stick that dot somewhere on there where nobody shoots it.
Right.
And everything in the vital to help tear up that insert more.
Right, because you can replace the insert.
Because I can replace the insert.
Versus normally a 14's like high liver, right?
Yep. Yeah. So then, so I just put a dot there.
That's smart.
So I was like, so it's easier, you know, you get more challenging by putting that half inch dot out there. It's like, many people are going to go for it.
You know what I find, and you guys might call me crazy here, when it comes to, and Doug, I think you and I were sort of on the same page with this last year. I used to just shoot at dots all the way up until, even like in the yard, whatever, all the way up until I went hunting with my bow. And I found myself stressing out if I'm shooting at 70 yards and I'm like on the right side of the dot, but I'm still touching the dot. I'm like found myself beating myself down mentally because you couldn't put clock hands on it. You know what I mean? And that's just me being hard on myself. Well, then I found I shot like right up until the month before season, I would just shoot for good, like long kill shots where I want to put the arrow right. And not worry about the dot. And I found my confidence level and my shooting went through the roof doing it that way than stressing out about being center clock hands on a dot versus being right or left or high or low in the dot.
Well, there's a big difference between shooting at 20 yards and 70 yards,
right?
Too. I mean,
hell, yeah. I can't see a half inch dot at 30 yards, yeah. Let alone 70.
Well, I'm talking like a dot on like a broad force target or something like that, you know.
So, but yeah, I mean, the closer you are to the target, the more forgiveness you got.
Of course,
because like the further away it is, the one more little variables. Bobble, your arrow's off 6 inches down there. So.
Right. So yeah, I just for me mentally, I think I get inside my own head.
I'm the same way too, like. Like you said, at 70, like you could wobble and like, is it with me? Is it with my bow? Yeah, like then you play head games.
Yeah, wind hits your arrow halfway through the flight travel or whatever. But back to 3D archery, it's you make that what you want out of it. Pretty much, you can have as much fun and bring your kids too because they can walk all the way up to the damn thing if they're young and shoot from wherever they're comfortable.
Yeah, I got a U stake out there that's 15 yards or less. So.
Yeah.
But the stakes are just there for if you want to stay in the competition side of it and shoot from that stake.
Personal challenges and group challenges.
But I mean, we tell them when we go out and we take other people with us, we're like, if you're not comfortable where we're shooting, because we usually shoot at the actual red number and for the lane, well, we all shoot back there. So if we have somebody else that's not comfortable, we're like, go pick a spot and go shoot.
Can you guys list off, like, when you go to the course, you'll see flags down each target.
Yep.
The front one, of course, just run through like the color and what they mean.
When you're walking through the course, the first thing you're going to see is my numbered stake. When you walk up to target number one, it says number one and it's red. I was like, that's what I call my competition stake.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's 60 yards or less.
Okay.
Then you go to the blue stake, which is the male. I was like, then I got a pink stake, which is the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I got an orange stake, which is bow hunter. Which is 35 yards or less.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Then I got a yellow stake, which is traditional, 25 yards or less. Then I got the U stake, which is white, 10 or 15 yards or less.
Gotcha. Okay. So, and that's listed on the sheet, the score sheets, if I'm correct, right?
Nope, it's not on the score
sheet. Oh, I thought it was, like, whatever flagged.
So I just tell them whatever, you know.
Do what you want.
Pick, do what you want, shoot, you know. It's not like I'm giving away $1,000 at the end of the shoot. So,
just have fun.
So have fun. So that's just a reference so you know. You know, all right, I'm going to shoot at the blue stake. Well, most of the targets are going to be 50 yards or less.
So. Right, right. And then going into that, so our working class bow hunter shoot this year is June 12th at Galesburg Archery Club, the course we're talking about. So that being said, same thing applies. Shoot from where you feel comfortable. Have fun. That's if you want to make it a competition with your group when you go through, that's on you. Do it, you know?
Yeah, there's no, like, overall winner.
Yeah, we're not giving money out to the winner of you got the high score.
Yeah, we're not going by best score when we do it. We're just going to have fun
exactly.
And all that other stuff.
I did get some messages. I've never competed in a 3D shoot. I'm like, well, you don't.
It's not really competing.
It's on you, man. Yeah. It's on you, you know? But you can shoot from wherever you want. Now, that doesn't mean with this course, we're going to have some fun with it. Like, we're going to make you laugh when you see a target and challenge you. Like, you might get up and see... Oh man, that target's really hugging a tree.
Yeah.
Or that fence is in the way, and how do I shoot through that?
Yeah.
Now, that
why the
being
hell
said,
is there a fence there?
If you're uncomfortable and you don't want to ruin an arrow, skip the target or get closer or move to where you can shoot through it where you think you're not going to destroy your arrow. But we're going to set it up to that furthest back stake as that's where you should shoot from, but you don't have to. You can shoot from wherever.
Yep.
So. Know that, you know, this isn't like Total Archery Challenge where you got a 90-yard mountain goat up and some rocks. We don't really have that terrain here.
Yeah.
But
you got a rock climb to get your arrow.
For a Midwest, like, bow hunting 3D course, we're going to give you Illinois crazy redneck challenges through this 3D course.
We can put the little black cub up on top of a tree way up there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, geez.
High draws all day. Through leaves.
Yeah, but it's got to either be on 1 through 5 or on 22 through 26.
Somewhere where they're shooting out into the field.
Yeah. So. I mean,
some calls from the farmer later.
What I like about
I get calls from him all the time is like, hey, I found a couple arrows out there that, you know, Oh, like right through the planner.
Oh, no shit.
Ooh.
Oops.
Yep.
Well, what I like about the way we set up the course is we all kind of go out together like, oh, that'd be cool. Let's do this. Like, so it's a collective of a group full of people. So if any target makes you mad, you can just yell at all of
them. Yeah. Come take it up with us, I guess.
What the hell were they thinking? Oh, we're thinking it'd be a hard shot.
Then the only thing you're going to get out of that is like, well, you should have had your ass out here and helped us set the course.
Right. That's on you, brother.
Yep. We've been that route before, haven't we?
That's funny.
Same four guys doing it every week, every month to set them up and tear it down.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people don't understand is like, you know, what keeps a club going. I was like, that is when you got the same four or five guys doing it for 4 or 5 years, they get burnt out. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's time for somebody new to step up, take charge, run the range. You know, you don't have to do it all and everything, but you know, if you don't join your local club, they're going to shut down. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, they're just going to go bankrupt and sell everything, and then nobody's going to have nothing. So.
Right. And there's not a ton of local clubs, really. I mean, the Quad Cities, and it's more Galesburg, but Quad City focused. I mean, there's one club on the Iowa side. There's you guys in Galesburg.
Then there's Canton.
Canton.
And Pekin.
Oh, Pekin's got one, too.
I think Pekin's got one.
And then there's Morrison, which is north away from the where we're at. That's quite a ways north.
There used to be more, but they were just more about, like, Rock River had that one.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, there was one up there that they had, but it was more about them getting the money for you to shoot and that pay for their lease.
Oh, so to enable,
I shot it once.
Enable to keep the place. Yeah. I know Eric normally shoots. He lives in Donahue, Iowa. There's a private deal, technically.
Yeah.
I don't remember. You know what I'm talking about?
The Donahue shoot?
Yeah, it's
like an invite type.
It's kind of a unique setup. They have like a league and shit, but we got kicked out of there several years ago because we shot Elite. And that's Hoyt Country over there.
It was Hoyt Country.
It's changing now.
That's Matthews.
I think it done changed.
It done changed a little bit.
I think it's Matthews.
We won't get into that. They're good people out there, but I think they made a change. But I mean, we shot out there and we got called out for shooting Elites in Hoyt Country, which I bleed a little bit of Hoyt if you cut me open, I bet. But I grew up shooting Hoyt.
I started with a Hoyt, but
did you too?
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. But yeah, I mean, archery is all about fun, man. The course is what you make it, and we're gonna have a riot this year at the shoot. So I have the website pulled up because I want to read off some of this so I didn't forget, because last year was the first year that we did the shoot at Galesburg Archery Club.
Yes, we teamed together. Yep.
Yes, sir.
And it,
that was like our best shoot.
What did you guys think? Because we had a meeting over like last winter.
We met 4 or 5 different times and everything else.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, we're going to have 100 people and everything else. Like, bring it to me. I was like, I'll take it. I was like, I can handle it. No big deal.
Yeah.
And everything else. We had 142 shooters last year.
Yeah.
So 143.
143.
For one day. So.
Yeah, one day. And
that was just shooters who registered. That wasn't the people who were there with the shooters.
Just to hang
bought
out.
Food and bought merch and all that.
Yep. We had, and we got to add in this, is like COVID just happened at the time. It was getting like, whoa, what's going on with this? And then, things were just starting to get canceled then. All our trade shows got canceled.
Yeah.
And then it rained all fucking weekend. So remember that?
Oh, well, it rained most of the week there before.
Yeah.
And everything else. And you were like,
little,
well, we're going
to have it. Was a little
it.
Soupy.
Yeah. So for the record.
We got pretty lucky still, though.
Yeah.
It did. It ended up doing pretty well. But in the morning, I think a lot of people were like, I was going to come out, but I looked at the weather and I got this going on instead.
Yeah, but I think that was gone by 9. 8:39, it cleared up, and it got really nice out.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping all good, but rain or shine, we're shooting.
Rain or shine.
We can shoot in the rain, boys and girls.
So, I mean, we had our last shoot last month and everything else. Started raining Friday afternoon, rained Friday, Saturday. I had one guy following me in the gate. He goes, I drove all the way from here from Canton. I'm shooting it.
Yeah.
Everything else, he's the only guy I had to shoot. And all everything weekend. Else, all weekend.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And he shot the whole course.
And he shot the whole course.
Good for that guy, man. So. Wish we knew his name. We'd shout him out for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can't remember what his name was.
So let me pull up the details here. Just so everybody knows, while we're in the middle of talking about it, this is a perfect time to talk about the shoot. So workingclassbowhunter.com/shoot, S-H-E-W-T, because we're rednecks, 2021. Galesburg Archery Club, of course, Big Tine is title sponsoring the shoot. Last year, they gave away 70 acres of food plot seed.
It's a lot.
And I don't know what, I don't know, dude, people were coming up and I was like, hey, have a bag of food plot seed. Well, I think we were all handing them out.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, how much? Like, well, you registered to shoot. Yeah, that's for you. So that's, I don't know what he's bringing this year, but I know he's bringing the big time trailer and the race tents. That's going to be there.
And bringing a race car too, so I can drive it around a block.
He should bring it. We'll get Joe to bring some crazy stuff. See this wooden fox over here in the corner of the studio, which I'm surprised you weren't like, why do you have that? That's courtesy of Big Time. They decided we needed that for the studio. Joe Womfers from Big Time.
He's keeping an eye on the joint. Look at him.
Yeah. We got to name him. He's going to be our mascot at the new studio. He's going to be like our gatekeeper.
Stanley.
Stanley, huh?
Throwing out there.
All right. All right. But anyway, Big Time is title sponsoring. We have... I have all the information. June 12th. So, Galesburg Archery Club, 2450 North Knox Road, 150 East Ryle, Illinois. There's coordinates on the website. Go by the coordinates, not the address.
Yep.
Because you will be lost.
Then if you come up 150, if you're leaving north off of 34, going north on 150, you're going to see my sign. Says 3D shoot Saturday, Sunday. Then there's a great big arrow right there.
Like, great big arrow is in, like, how long is that thing?
It's got to be 10 foot.
It's giant. At least. Yeah, you'll see it.
So. Can't miss it.
And if you're coming south, going north, you will. That's the way you will go.
Yes. Yep. So. Yeah. You're going to come up 150 from Alpha or from Galesburg.
Yep.
You're gonna. That's the first thing you're going to see is that big arrow and
yep.
our
and
sign.
We recommend. So I have, let's go through the info. $20 registration, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be there at 7 a.m. and you have to stay till 2 p.m. It means you have to be on the court, registered and on the course before 2 p.m.
Yep.
So if you want to show up at noon and shoot, that's fine. I will tell you, though, what we're going to do this year, I'm going to pick and call people for their prizes throughout the day instead of doing it at the end. So, just expect, and you don't have to, as long as you registered, you don't have to be there to win this year.
Yep.
So last year you had to be present to win, so you grab your stuff. We're going to have the Big Time trailer so we can put all the stuff in there and not worry about like somebody snagging it or anything. So when we draw prizes, you have to register to shoot, and your name goes in a pot, and we'll draw people for prizes from our sponsors. So I'll call you or text you. We'll put your name on it, and then you just come get it when you get through the course, or if you'd already shot and left, you can come back and get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we're going to do it that way. And then we're going to have a ton of prizes. We had a ton of prizes last year. So that's what it is. $20. Be on the course by 2 p.m. between 7 and 2. Concessions available.
Yep.
We're going to have food again.
Quarter pound hamburgers and quarter pound hot dogs.
Kick ass. Kick ass. Alcohol, not allowed on the course. I have to say that because we're beer drinking people and all our listeners are beer drinking people. That being said, the after party. We're getting to that. We're getting to that. And I mean, come on. It's obvious you can't be drinking beer on a on a course. Yeah.
Better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry. We got a cool shoot recap video on the page now. I even have a 3D map where, interactive map where it is.
Please use that.
After party information. This is the WCB Big Time After Party at Jigs's Tavern in Alexis, Illinois. That's on the page as well. So after party. So we can all go to the tavern. Have some cold ones and cocktails and hang out and talk about how bad we all at archery. So I have on schedule Clint Casper, Johnny Utah, Billy C, and Emily Shad for appearances. Maybe Kyle Weeder from Whitetail Adrenaline will be there hanging out. Right now, locked in sponsors with more on the way. I'm waiting. Like, literally, there is more than this. Big Time, Scent Crusher, HHA, Elite Archery, Gator Outdoors, Old Barn Taxidermy, Victory Arrows, Can Cooker, Thermoseat, Pullback and Let Go, and Loophole Optics, to name a few. There's more on the way.
Yeah, you don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of giveaways.
I think there might be a bourbon barrel turkey call in the mix. We'll see. This is the month where I start stirring up a lot more partners. I imagine every one of our partners for the show will be a partner of the show.
For sure.
So, and I have all the hotel information and all that stuff. So, and, if you have questions, there's a form here you can fill out. And
yeah, we gave a lot away last time, but this will be bigger this time.
Yes, definitely. 143 registered shooters last year. I would say the earlier you get there, probably the better.
The more fun you're going to have by the time the day is over with.
I would say, yeah. I mean, why not make a day out of it?
That's right.
And even then, if you're coming in from out of town, get a hotel in Galesburg. You can come out and shoot, and go back to the hotel and then come back out. If you want to shoot again, you have to pay the club fee for targets.
Which speaking of that, we do have a shoot going on Sunday. So the working class bow hunter shoot is Saturday. Then we have our regular shoot on Sunday that mm-hmm. weekend also. So yeah, if you want to come back out yourself. For $10, you can yeah
shoot it again.
You need to come back out and shoot a couple arrows so you can find the seven you missed and come on out.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then it sounds like we're going to have so outside like the entryway and the exit way of the course. There's like a practice range. I think we're going to set up some novelty shoots like dollar shoots, and you get a percentage of the pot and
old doors.
We have we talk about
sure. Yep.
Curly.
We're going to talk about it. Yes.
We got Curly and Doris.
Yep.
So Doris, everybody knows and hates Doris, our 3D gold target. She's a bedded gold doe. Gosh, she's a bitch.
Such
but
a bitch.
You'll learn about that if you shoot at Doris. But there's a
new one.
A new one.
It is a 6-foot-plus buck. So
standing buck.
Standing buck. It's got a 8-by-10-inch bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else. And we're going to set it out there at 60 plus.
Oh, boy.
And
60 plus. Yeah, I like that.
One of the guys come up with this that's a member of my club on my board and everything else. Well, he had it made. They powder coated it and everything else. So it's going to protect for a while.
When's the extra mile?
Then, yeah. Yep.
Then, I just rattle can Doris gold on my color.
Well, then I've actually put some touches on it, too. It's like I've gave it a white belly, white tail. I mean, it looks like a deer. And everything, but then it's at my house right now. And then he decided to come down the other day with another buddy of ours that's a club member. And he goes, I think we need to name this after your dad. And he goes, did he have any nicknames or anything else like that? Well, Howard Bruce is not something you name.
Howard would be pretty cool, though, on the buck.
Yeah, but everybody used to call him Curly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, he went by Curly by 90% of his friends, so...
Yeah.
So he's like, well, Curly it is then. So.
Well, he'll be laughing when he sees everybody destroying arrows on that thing.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Very cool.
But the part of that is it's $1 a shot. You want to spend $10, $12, shoot all 12 arrows, that doesn't matter. Every one that you make it through there, we're going to put your name on a little card. At the end of that shoot, we're going to draw out a name. You're going to get half the pot. Quarter of the pot goes to the working class bow hunters. The other quarter stays with the Galesburg Archer Club.
It'd be beautiful. We'll set up. We'll have to set up like a table there with a tent. And
there's going to be a lot of people feeling cocky, table,
too. So. We'll make it official. We'll put the big time tents right in there, too. So you kind of we'll probably have that set up where people can come in and like check out all the food plot seed and whatever else. And
you got to make like the statement. If you have a gambling addiction, call this number. If you just keep putting money in, it's like, Jesus, man, quit.
We'll have to do a disclaimer the next podcast we do about it. Be like, listen, we got some people in trouble.
God forbid you try more than once. Yeah.
Spend $100 and I lost 11 arrows. I'm down to one. Here's another dollar. Right. Well, you're done.
Yeah, it's like Joe Dirt when that guy.
I found one in the weeds.
Yeah, you're just finding people's losses. Hey, not a bad idea, but no, we'll have some fun with it. And I think don't quote me on this. Michael Winicky from Loophole. I always mess up his last name. I'm kind of just doing it on purpose now, but he's, I think he's going to bring out some Loophole stuff so people can play with it and try it out. Maybe we'll see if we can get a couple Loophole spotters. Look, you know, watch through them for arrows hitting steel. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll talk to him. I just do this on air and he'll hear it on a podcast and then call me. Like, hey, you might want to go over. He's cool.
You're going to hear it when it hits the target. I mean, if you watch the video that we posted on the website,
ding.
The webpage, it's me hitting Doris at like, it was like 80 yards and it's windy and I sent her anyway. Yeah.
There's about 10 people. That hit it.
That's part of the fun.
He brings a spotting scope out. I got that Tacticam Spotter LR.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
We can mount that on there in video. You can zoom right in on the hole.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, that's happening.
And record that.
What I could do, our buddy Wade Kemp from Texas is going to come up and film all day. And I think Jordan Johnson from Combination Creative, the guy who made this video, which you didn't see the video. We'll show you after the show. But he...
Because I was late, somebody didn't tell me what time or where to be.
Well, my bad.
You're
right?
Old enough.
Hey, phone works both ways, brother. Billiam. Hey,
you're here now.
But maybe we could get the drone flying like near the target.
Right hovering above it.
Oh, yeah. Hit a drone.
Oh, yeah.
You win the pot at that. You have any people aiming at his drone? Is expensive.
The podcast has to go to Jordan.
But that's what's fun about it is that just fun little wager competitions and stuff like that. That's what makes it motivating and fun, and you're getting better without knowing you're getting better, you know? So that's a beautiful thing about it. Like, it's just a good time.
Yeah, the only person you ever got to beat on a 3D shoot yourself. I was like, I mean, if you think you're going to go out there and win the $20,000 jackpot that Levi Morgan just put in your pocket, you better practice more than what he does, because that's why he's doing it.
So. This, I mean, you could still, if that's what you do, you'd still have fun here, but you know, we might not be your crowd.
You can shoot a perfect score and be like,
it's all about the shooter, not the equipment.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. And two, even a lot of guys probably come through and unknown yardage and just go through for themselves to practice for some of their big tournaments that they do. I mean, that's just part of the fun, part of the game.
You know, there's a lot of your ASA state qualifiers and stuff like that. Well, them guys come to our local 3D shoots because it's different.
Yeah.
It's like it's not set up. You know, perfectly crystal clear shooting range and everything else. There's a little bit more of a challenge. So it makes it easier for them to practice on our course and then go to these tournaments.
Right, right.
So that way they do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Dude, it's so much fun. It really is. If you've never been, and if the, I mean, if the shoot's going to be your first one, that's a good one to go, because the atmosphere is there. Like the community feel, the fun atmosphere, the lighthearted atmosphere is all there. And
yeah, don't think about your score. Just have fun.
Never be afraid to ask questions while you're there. There's a ton of knowledge there.
That's the thing, too, is I think people are intimidated usually. I mean, a big group of people in a community you're unfamiliar with if you've never been. But the bow hunting and archery community is the best community to approach that way. And a good example of that is last year, Shad Venati from – he's doesn't work – we always lump him in with Big Time because he's Joe's buddy.
Right.
But he was there representing Big Time last year. And he brought a bunch of these traditional bows. Everybody that came in, hey, you want to try and shoot one? And people, you know, nah, I'm good. I'd like to, but I'm okay. Why? Let's go shoot it right now. It's fun. And then he had like a group of people shooting traditional archery. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he didn't care if he missed. Shoot them.
Yeah.
We'll go.
Yeah.
We'll find the arrows. It's no big deal. So he'll be there again doing the same thing, I'm sure. So that'll be really cool. I mean, that's what it's about, you know, come out and, I mean, there'll be bows there to try. A bunch of guys showed up with traditional equipment and Shad was all over them talking to them and kind of, it was just, it's just cool. Like the community that it gets involved with bow hunting really is where it roots.
Yeah.
From.
And don't feel rushed either. Just, you know,
have fun.
Enjoy it out there. And
it's cool, man. It's good vibes. That's what I like about it the best. Like everyone's there just, we're all there for the same thing.
Right.
Have fun and shoot your bow, man.
It's nice to meet different people and everything else, like all the people from Pennsylvania stuff that come out last year.
That's crazy, huh? Georgia, we had a bunch of from Georgia and Tennessee. Yeah.
Do we have everybody from each state or no? Do you know for sure?
We'll have to keep a tally. We'll have to get like a map and do like an X
put
on
a,
each state.
Yeah, put a pin on it.
Yeah, where you at?
We had Connecticut, PA, Virginia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, Indiana, Ohio.
West Virginia.
Kentucky, West Virginia.
Georgia,
said that already. I don't know if we had any Florida.
I don't think so.
We had an Alabama.
That's crazy.
That's getting in the wheelhouse there.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Pretty damn good. So, I don't know. We'll see this year. It'd be kind of neat. We should get a map and check.
We'll get a map and check it off.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, mostly Midwest, of course. But, shout out to you guys that are planning on making trips. A lot of guys are like, hey, I'm coming out. It's like my bachelor party. You know, come out, shoot the boys, and then go to the after party afterwards, you know? So it's pretty cool. But I don't know. It's mind-blowing that people come from all over like that.
Right? Yeah.
I was tickled to death last year.
I was worried that you guys might be like, fuck these guys.
Not with COVID. They ain't going to bother me none at all. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Let's have fun.
COVID what?
Yeah.
Never heard of her. That's the thing, too, is at the end of the shoot, I was like, what do you think? Let's do it again next year. I'm like, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Easy, man. Yeah. It was easy. It was just we were all on the same page on everything, on planning. And just,
it's always easy when you're doing something you love.
That's true. You know, there wasn't any like, well, we can't do this or this and this. It was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Let's do it, man. So I appreciate you guys big time for letting us host there. And it's great that we help each other out and,
you know, no problem.
Made a bunch of new friends in the process.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it was cool. And then, I mean, everybody got along great. And there literally was no hiccups.
No. It was smooth. So,
Was everybody else in the club cool with it and everything?
Everybody in our club was happy.
Good, so, good. So. I was hoping nobody would be like, yeah, those guys are idiots. Nope.
So, nope, that was it. Went over a lot smoother than I thought it was going to.
That's good.
Especially for having that many people and everything else and trying to get shit rocking and rolling right off the bat.
I was nervous because you don't always know how many people are going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And before, we always had it on someone's private ground, which is always scary because then you have to limit it to registration and we didn't have 30 targets. And so this was just great. It works for both of us. Like, you know, we can support the club, people can have fun, and I don't have to worry about like capacity of having too many people at my buddy's house.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, so, and then, you know what I mean? Pissing off a neighbor or whatever.
I was like, I've had 200 shooters out there in one day. So it's no big deal. We do our big hog roast at the end of the year and everything. If you want to come back for that, you're more than welcome. Everything is the second weekend of September, but it's a 60 shots, two arrows per target. Some of them I do double up targets so you don't, so you're not shooting two arrows at the same target.
Yeah.
But that's $15 and it includes your food. So all you gotta do is buy soda. It's
pretty kick ass.
Done. It's like, if you leave there hungry, that's your problem.
It's your fault.
Like, we cooked that pig all night and everything else right on the grill.
So. That's awesome. I've always wanted to do that shoot. I'm gone every year.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be in Wyoming this year on that antelope the last 2 years. But that I've always wanted to do that because it's my birthday weekend.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go out and shoot my bow until my arm hurts, stuff my belly until I can't anymore, and then go drink until I can't walk.
I got a few guys that shoot half of it one day, turn around to come back on Sunday and shoot the other half and pay a little extra money and get some more food.
There you go. So,
okay.
That's a pretty good idea, actually. That's thinking ahead a little bit.
So.
You don't burn yourself out and you're there to relax and have a good time. So. It's such a good thing. Like, I'm so excited, man, when I'm in the awkward stage of running the podcast, of course, having a two-year-old, another one on the way, but it's like I'm not far from out. Like, time with my kids is going to be, I mean, right there, it's 10 minutes, when Isla Mae can shoot her own little bow. And I mean, even to the point where she can just sling an arrow at the target, then we're in. We're good, So, I mean, it's not that far out, really.
No, not at all.
If you think about it. I mean, she'll be doing it in the backyard here before too long. So.
Yeah, I let most of my kids in my kids' class is like, fling it. I was like, I can't, I was like, let's get the repetition part of it down before I worry about telling you, you need to anchor this
right,
and everything else. Let that arrow fly. It's like, just let it go.
Just send it. Yeah. Have fun.
Send it. Yep.
I think that is important. That's a good thing to talk about here. Like, what is a good age to probably start thinking about? I guess it depends on the individual, right?
It does depend on the individual and everything else. I usually try at 5.
Okay.
Like, I can keep their attention span a little bit longer.
Yeah, they kind of get what's going on.
They get what's going on and everything else, and they'll comprehend, as I'm trying to explain it a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I try to – I always got to step back and say, all right, it's like I'm not talking to an 18-year-old. I'm talking to a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
I got to rethink how I'm trying to train them.
Right, and it can't all be perfect because they don't have, the motor skills aren't, set. I don't know if that's the right analogy there, but – yeah, it's different. Like, you're not going to have them anchor and with a back to, you know what I mean? Just get them where they're close, I'm assuming. And
I can try to get them close and everything else. Then I'll adjust their sights and stuff to get them in the bullseye. I was like, I tell all the kids, it's like, I don't care where your arrow hits. I was like, I need you to hold it the same way every time. Put that pin right on the bullseye. I was like, if you got all 5 arrows 6 foot over here, I was like, I'll make that adjustment. We'll get you closer.
Right.
I was like, don't worry about that. I was that'll come later. I was like, let's get a group, 8 inches around.
Right, right.
Like, then
focus on the basics first.
Yeah. Then you're in the money there.
Yeah. Yep.
So, it's a good idea. Yeah.
That's like with all my 4-H kids. It's like I started them all out at 10 yards, even my kid, and everything else. It's like, we're going back 10 yards. Like, everybody's going to learn the basics right off the bat, first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And everything else is like, I want all 5 arrows in the 2-inch circle.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets them in that. You're moving back to 20. Well, last weekend we had our thing. I had 4 kids. All of them were in the 20. My boy was one of them. And everything else. Like, all right, you're all going back to 20 yards. So, yeah. I think you got lucky. Bill kind of pressured him a little bit and everything else. And he was shooting faster than what he normally does. And I'm not kidding you. All 5 of them are right there.
Good test.
Yeah.
It's like you kind of get promoted to the next 10 yards type deal. That's funny.
But I'm trying to get – these kids are old enough I can take them to state this year, which is over in Pekin. they do all the 4-H stuff for the state.
So what does that mean for the state? Like, it's like the tournament?
It's a tournament thing for all the kids that are in the 4-H program.
Oh, really?
So they can go around and see how they do over there. They take all the scores and everything else, and then they move them up to the next level, which we might go to Nebraska or somewhere, wherever they're having the next competition thing. I could take the kids that way.
Oh, cool.
And go to do that.
That is cool.
Is 4-H... I was never in 4-H. I'm sure they had one when I was young. Is it just like an outdoor, kids in the outdoors type program?
We actually have shooting sports. There's shotgun, pistol, air rifle, and then shotgun and archery. So
no kidding.
The shotgun is...
So is that something through like the school, or is that like an outside thing?
It's an outside program. So
no kidding.
So
yeah, what's like the area for like the 4-H? Like, is it like Knox County?
It does Knox County, Warren County, Mercer County. Well, it's actually every county in the state and everything else, but it all depends on which program you want to be in.
Oh, really? Well, what category?
Like because I got a couple kids that coming over from Mercer County to shoot with us to do archery. So.
No kidding. Well, hell, that's good to know. Because
that's what we got going on right now is our 4-H archery twice a month on Sundays.
There's a lot of kids.
Oh, really?
Yep.
It varies. Yeah. It depends. You know, this time of year, people are finally starting to say, we're doing what we want to do or not.
Yeah.
But we've had...
I've had 40-some kids in my kids' class. Then I've had up to 37 in my 4-H class at one time.
So. No kidding. Yep. What's the age limit for the kids' class?
Anywhere from 5 to 18 in my kids' class. And that's usually starts the first weekend in February.
Oh, right. Okay.
And everything. And I do that for 6 weeks. It's like, I know the weather's bad. Stuff, you know, we live in Illinois.
Never know.
So if it's a snow day and it's $20 per kid and everything else, we have a snow day, I'm making it up. It's like, I'm not shorting the kids. Right. It's not $20 per class. That's $20 for the 6 weeks, period.
Right, right. So that's awesome, man.
And, it's all my time and everything else to help you with the kids. And a lot of people, they get their kids, see if they want to do it, which I got training bows, the Genesis bows to train. And then if you want to go out and buy your kid a bow, I'll help you set it up.
Yeah.
And everything else. It's like, we'll do the peep sights, get it all tuned, get it set up.
How many of those Genesis bows do you have?
There is, 18?
Yeah, there's about 18 of them. And there's different ones. Yeah. We actually have some that are the mini bows.
Oh, yeah?
So we got a couple of mini, because we got a couple of kids that are about this tall.
Right, yeah. Well, let me throw this out there. Yeah, so
that's a big age range.
One of our partners owns Gator Outdoors, Wade Borman. He's like, and I forget about it. He's like, hey, maybe I can get a hold of some Genesis bows and bring them out for kids that want to try shooting at like just a bale at 10 yards in the practice area. Okay. So I don't know if that's an idea. Maybe we could bring some of them out.
You want me to bring them out? I'll bring them out.
Yeah, I mean, it might not hurt.
It's already done. They'll be there.
There you go. So if you have a kid who's never shot and wants to try one,
yep,
we could set them up.
I got arrows, and they'll be ready to go.
Cool. There it is. Perfect. Done deal.
Yep.
So Wade will be happy to hear that then. Yeah, it'd be kind of a cool thing. If you have a young kid that wants to, I might just go with you to walk around the course and hang out. Maybe they can try and shoot a few arrows and see if it's something they'd want to get into or... I don't know. It doesn't hurt to have them because you could turn one more person into a hunter or an archer.
Exactly.
And the thing is, those Genesis, anybody can shoot it.
Yeah.
So if you're this big or you're this big, anybody can shoot that Genesis.
No
kidding. We had a girl Sunday. The boys, their cousins, they shoot in our class. They've been shooting for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she wanted to shoot, and all the parents always ask us, well, can she shoot? And I'm like, yeah, not a problem. We aren't going to tell a kid no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went in there, and I told her, I said, you want to shoot? She's like, yeah. So I went in, and I got one of the baby Genesises out, and I said, look at that. It's almost as tall as you.
Yeah.
No, she ended up, I took her down there and let her shoot a couple arrows. She had a grin from ear to ear.
That's awesome.
Come back,
man.
Next time, we'll do it again.
That's cool. See, I think people are just reluctant to try it. It's an intimidating thing, but it doesn't have to be, you know,
no.
Especially with that attitude. Like, just try it. It's not a big deal. That's what I thought was so cool about Shad, with people wanting to shoot the traditional stuff. Well, they're kind of like, you can tell they want to, but they don't want to be like, yeah, let me shoot your arrows.
Yeah.
He's like, what's the big deal? So what if you miss?
We can buy more.
Yeah.
We buy more, we'll find the ones we lost.
Yeah, it's fine. Because he has a bow, he calls it Gramps. It was made with his grandfather's ashes in it somehow. I don't know how.
I don't know either.
He's explained it on another podcast, but it's been a while. And I felt bad. He's like, shoot it. I'm like, that's a personal thing.
Right.
Shoot it. That's what this is for. He'd want you to shoot it. I'm like, well, okay. I get it. So, but that bow I thought would be like the don't touch this bow.
Right.
No, he's encouraging strangers to shoot it. which is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it just shows it you cool, like.
But I'd be awful heartbroken if I did something and it broke.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just start thinking about that. That's why a lot of people are skittish. Like you say,
yeah.
It's got his grandpa's ashes in it.
Yeah, which is cool. I didn't know they could do that, which is really cool. But
I'm sure he's going to bring more this year.
He'll have a fleet, man. We went to his house. That guy's got so
he's got
so many bows. He's just that guy. I mean, I know you guys all got along with him and talked to him, but that guy's so passionate about everything he does. Like it's addicting. And you're gonna hang out with him this weekend, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with him and Joe Humphries
some turkeys
on the Big Time Farm in Indiana.
Yeah. So well, good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Turkey's been kicking our asses turkeys at working class, man.
Lately, so. I'm 1-for-3 so far. I got 2 more weeks to go.
Yeah.
We killed.
They've been hanging up on us.
Good.
Now we. The thing was, my buddy owns the property, and he hasn't hunted turkeys in a long time. Usually something comes up, whatever. I said, Friday's your day. I'm going to be your guide. I'm going to call. I got the decoys. You just show up with the gun and the camo.
Mm-hmm.
I even gave him my bullets because he didn't have any.
So we went. It twists my arm, don't you?
guide Billiam.
Guide Billiam.
So we went out there. I said, it's all on you. I said, if it comes in, shoot it. I don't care. He goes, well, if it comes over that hill by you, shoot it. I said, no, I won't.
This is yours. Daddy's not hunting right now.
So I, you know, we stayed till 7 where I first sat up, and we had a little bit of calling, not much major. So I'm like, come on. So I grabbed the decoys and we went up. He goes, where are we going? I said, I want to go check the field. Mm-hmm. Dude, we walked out in the field. There was 10 birds in the field.
No shit.
Oh, man.
Not one of them bastards made a noise.
Really?
They were all quiet.
Dude, none of my birds have been talking either.
Yeah.
It's like, and I got to have birds talking. Otherwise, I'm just not interested.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're there. I know where they're at.
Yeah.
And they come out there. And so we sat up. He goes, what do you want me to do? I said, sit by that tree right there. You can see the whole field. So if they come down, take one.
Yeah.
And it took us probably 45 minutes to an hour. And I finally coaxed 3 Jakes to come down to us. And they got within range. And he's like, okay, they're coming. You take the left. I'll take the middle.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, not a problem. He said, but you got to wait till I say now.
Uh-huh.
Because I had a brush pile. They had to come around before I can get a shot. So I got the cameras up, you know, on my gun. I got it up and I'm watching. I'm like, okay. Okay, no, now. Boom! Stood up. We picked him up and took him. And he did what he needed to do with his bird, his 2 birds.
Yeah.
So 10 birds running around there, and the one was with the hen, and he wasn't leaving her for nothing.
No kidding.
So it was a pretty cool experience.
Well, he had one. Better luck than we've had, man. It's I had birds hang up on me, shut up when they hit the ground. I had a hen come in the decoys and yelp in my face and wouldn't bring the toms in. And then, Doug, I mean, you've had...
Dude, I mean, they're talking and everything. They come onto the field and then they see. I've tried 3 different decoys. They just don't come in. They get. I had one at 65 yards. Yesterday morning, and I flung an arrow at him and I hit him, but I never found him.
You got to hit turkeys perfect.
With
a bow. Either that or you got a lot
with
of your
a
head
bow.
Off.
No, with a bow. I sent it. I was so pissed at him.
I love how you have no shame in your game.
No, I'm gonna say how it is. You know, fuck them.
Let it fly.
All right.
I got some loppers at the house. You want them? Same for the head.
Yeah. Here's Doug's turkey update of the week, and that is?
I was going to say it, but you know what? I did it.
Fuck them.
If I would have been just a little higher, it would have been done.
That's what we're going to start doing during turkey season is Doug's turkey update of the week, and it'll just be like just a quick statement.
Fuck them.
There it is. You heard it here first. Doug's turkey statement.
That's all I got to say about that.
Better than Eric. So Eric, he's... couldn't make it tonight, but Eric hates birds. Like, he don't hate them, really, but he hates... Like, he's not interested in hunting them.
I'm the same way. I'll join his club.
Yeah, there you go, So a lot of people are joining his club.
I'll go 3D shooting.
right. His is the F Turkeys Club. And I get it. It's kind of a... It's. I don't know how much he actually hates them, but it's kind of turned into
a gimmick. He's starting to get a gathering.
He's starting to what?
Yeah, he's getting a gathering of people.
He's got a cult.
Join the team.
Yeah. F Turkeys cult. Well, it's because we'll get messages on Instagram like, hey, by the way, I'm on Team Eric when it comes to turkeys. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fair. I get it. You know? If turkeys had antlers, boy, oh, boy, it'd be different.
I don't know. The more and more I hunt turkeys, the more I like hunting them than deer.
I'm not there yet, but
I
will say.
I'm not a bone guy, so.
You're not wrong there.
You know.
Yeah. I'm. The more I hunt turkeys, the more I like it.
Have you reaped one yet?
I haven't reaped one. I decapped one, though.
Well, I saw that decap.
But have you?
You need to try reaping.
I don't hunt them with a gun, though.
Don't matter. Try it once.
I could try it with a bow.
You can reap them with a bow. We did it in Iowa.
You probably need a big ass fan to get behind, like one of them umbrellas. Can you do it with a?
See that?
Yeah, just hide behind a regular fan, huh?
We went to with Tacticam as a team leader. We went down to Missouri. Mm-hmm. Jeff took all the team leaders and said, "Come on, we're going to turkey camp." Mm-hmm. That was my first experience reaping with them guys, and I was with Jeremy McCarty. Mm-hmm. You know him?
I don't know. What?
He's a big turkey
dude. What's Jeff's last name?
Peel.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast before.
Jeff Peel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he took us down there as team leaders. Well, we went down there. It had Jeremy McCarty, mm-hmm. me, and another guy, another team leader, Scott Craig,
mm-hmm.
and we were behind a fan like that.
No
kidding.
Three
of us. And we had two toms around the corner, and I'm like, "They're down there, Jeremy." He's like, "So hold on." He gets out of the blind, goes out there, and he's doing his little thing. "Nope, they're not coming." He's like, "Come on." And we walk down the field, and we walk about half, and then we get down on our knees, and we kneel a little ways, and then we're on our bellies crawling a little way.
Yeah.
And we get right to the corner, and he takes that fan, and he takes out there and torments them and stuff and puts it down. And he goes, "Here they come." And he grabs both of us and goes, "Whoosh." I mean, we're all – I could have been
bunched
in the
up.
Side pocket.
Yeah.
That's how close we were. And they finally come around, and the first one struts. The second one puffs up. He's like, "Can you take them?" I'm like, "Yeah." Scott's like, "Yeah." He goes, "Kill them." Boom.
With guns?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, done once with a gun.
We could try it once. We got that the grind, like it's called the Reaper.
Yeah.
We could try. Dude, we should try that during Turkey Palooza.
I should have tried that this weekend.
I got one in the van or in my truck.
The fan?
Yeah.
But we have one that's so we're partnered
not,
with
not the turkey fan. I got an actual, they call it the Reaper.
Yeah.
I got my Missouri bird I killed on that hunt with Jeremy. I took the fan. We did it in Iowa because we went up there so the rest of the guys in Iowa could hunt turkeys. We took it out, got it clean, and then he took Bondo on the fan, butt part.
Hold it in
and
place.
Get it hard. And then you take that Reaper piece with the natural looking head and put it on there.
It's probably the same thing that we have. It's the same thing. It comes with an artificial fan, or you can put your own in it.
Yep.
So I have that fan for my decat bird that I'm probably going to.
Yeah, I got
need,
one too.
I need to get it thawed out. I just threw it in the freezer and get it ready for Turkey Palooza next weekend.
If you need a special any fans, let me know. There's about six in my freezer.
You got them ready. I got one in the freezer.
They're just in there. I always cut my. I've learned that once you do a bird and you do the fan and you get the wings hanging down, it takes up a lot of room.
It does, dude.
I have four of them like that right now, and two are not mine. Two are my wife's.
Yeah,
I took her to Kansas on a veterans hunt. She won. I put her in, and she killed two down there, a Tom and a Jake. Well, her brother took the fans, put them, you know. Touching each other, one up, one down,
yeah.
And then took a couple wings, put them on them, and got all her legs and all her bullets and her beards on it.
That's cool.
That takes up my whole wall on the entryway coming in.
See, I have that fan on the ground, that fan, and I have another fan in my living room, and then I have the fan in the freezer, and I have two full turkey mounts, and there's no more turkey mounts unless I kill a Merriam. Then I'm gonna do. I like the Hanging Dead mounts. I think they're just sweet looking. So if I kill a Merriam, I might do that. So I might try and go to South Dakota and kill a Merriam next year. Maybe we should do that.
I got about eight fans in my basement.
It's too much.
On top of each other.
It's too much.
Yeah, dude.
They're all the same.
Like you said, you run out of room real fast.
Yeah. I got my first bird I ever killed by myself. Never called. I didn't know what I was doing. So I just went out to my buddy's place, and he goes, "Go sit in that corner. You know they'll come out there." I said, "Okay." Had the hen decoy out there, and he did come out. Called him in by himself and all that. Killed him. I got him, you know, not mounted, but I got a fan and the wings and all that.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law did it again. And I have another Jake I killed at his place. Just memory stuff. So I had it one done. Well, I actually shot one last year. It was 25.6 pounds, 10.5-inch beard, an inch and a quarter spurs. He's getting mounted.
That's a hog.
Yeah.
He's getting mounted,
that's
buddy.
That's a hog.
Full strut.
What was that long? So Chandler has a ton of spurs. He has those one that have, like, daggers on them. I can't remember what they were.
They're massive. Almost. I think you said they're almost 2 inches.
It looks fake. That's how big they are.
Yeah, I've seen some coming up. There was one of the Facebook posts I was watching. A guy said he almost had 2-inch spikes on his or spurs.
Have you ever seen the spurs on an oscillated turkey from Mexico? They're insane.
Yeah,
like they don't really have beards, but their spurs are like
at all.
Yeah,
Let me see if I can pull one up.
Like the blue heads, like with the yellow dot, like ugly looking.
Our buddy Sean
looked like a freaking peacock.
One.
Yeah.
A turkey peacock is what they look like. Do you see the one on Facebook with the four spurs?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he has two, you know.
The
they're probably
spurred.
Yeah.
I've never seen one of those.
I've
seen
it
on Facebook. But
the one on the other day.
That's insane.
And he's got like two little ones about that big right underneath them. I was like, dude, I've never seen
that. Happen?
I don't know. Well, look at the ones with the beards.
Yeah.
Well, I got seven beards. I'm like, what? What's
wrong
with your bird,
my cousin, my cousin shot one seven beards one time. I was like, what the hell?
Jeez.
Well, there's Osceola. How do you spell oscillated?
O-S-C-E. L-A-T-E.
I saw one too.
D. Garrett. Better throw the D on the end. I don't want to confuse you.
I got it on it.
Garrett Godwin sent me one too. Some kid shot his first turkey and it had some hooks like
here, monsters. I don't know if you guys can see the screen.
Well, God, that looks like a peacock.
Yeah, that's an oscillating turkey. See the spur?
See the spurs are huge. Yeah.
Holy moly.
There, yeah, it is. It is kind of like a peacock. But look, here's the that spur's 2.5 inches long.
Jeez.
I think that's normal too.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they don't have anything to defend themselves over there, so they got to have them.
Yeah. I'm trying to find another picture. They're freaking cool, man.
They're cool looking birds for sure.
They were at the Illinois Deer and Classic that one year when you walk in the front. Remember?
I don't know if you remember. Yeah, they had like the turkey display out there.
And they had the Merriam, the Easterns, and all that.
Our buddy went. We did a podcast on it. He went down in Mexico somewhere. His old man always goes hunting like these crazy exotic places. He's his dad's a gynecologist, which is hilarious and awesome. But he, I guess, but he goes on all these crazy hunts and like he's not really. He sold his practice or whatever, so he's like just has fun with you know with his hard work and goes on these cool hunts. So he's like every now and then I get to tag along and. Because my dad invited me down to go to Mexico, and he goes, it's something I never thought about doing, and said he went and said it was a riot. So the guys down there, the guides were great, and just made it up like just crazy food for them in camp, and it's a pretty cool podcast. Was it last spring or the spring before? I can't remember. He just got the mount back, like within the last 5 days. It's beautiful. Hmm. Absolutely beautiful. Speaking of which, if you kill, where are you getting that turkey mounted?
From last year?
Yeah. Is it already at the taxidermist?
Yeah.
Man, Old Barn Taxidermy is where you got to go next.
If you had told me that last year, I would have given it to him, but it's somewhere else and it's supposed to be done soon.
All right. Well, next time, Old Barn Taxidermy, they're our boys. Boys and girls out there, they're the jam.
Yeah, they got going on.
Yeah, and by the way, if anybody kills a bird and you're not going to mount it, but a head or anything like that, Sam needs, here, have it right here. Old Barn Taxidermy, turkey parts. If you bring in a head, he'll give you an Old Barn t-shirt because he needs parts. So if like a kid shot a turkey and wants it mounted and the head's destroyed on it from getting shot, he can use turkey parts from other turkeys to fix it and make the mount how it should look.
Wish I would have known that Friday.
Full bird, he'll give you for a full bird. If you drop a full bird off, $30, or he'll give you a hoodie. But $9.95 a full mount with a limb or a standing base. Depends if you get it up on the wall or whatever, but. For a full mount turkey at an Old Barn Taxidermy quality, that's a hell of a deal. So for anybody out there making Play-Doh snakes, thinking about that big turkey, there we go. So what else, boys? Did we miss anything about the club or anything like that?
I think we covered quite a bit.
What do you think? First podcast you guys have done, I'm assuming?
First podcast.
Yeah. Do you hate it? Would you ever do it again?
I'll do it again. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
They're going to get in their trucks and leave like, fucking idiots.
Cancel the shoot.
Shoot's canceled.
The first 10 minutes was a little shaky, but yeah. I mean, other than that. Nah.
Just having a conversation. Yeah. Expensive mic shoved in your face.
Yeah. You go right back to talking about shooting archery.
Yeah.
First time you shot archery, you're kind of nervous. Mm-hmm. Same with me. Yeah. First time I'm coming to a podcast. Do I call? Do I show up? Show up, LOL. Yeah. I know what that means.
But yeah, right.
Now we are. We're just having a good old time.
All good.
It's like going to your first 3D shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You're all nervous, it's just it's nothing. You're just talking, shooting, talking.
Yeah. It's when we get our new studio all finished up, it's all in the works. We'll have to have you guys come back and get the full studio experience and all that. I mean, this is what it's been for. I mean, we've been doing this for just over 6 years. So 445 is your guys' episode number.
Good.
So
sweet.
It's we got a lot of podcasts to do and a lot of work ahead of us here, but I mean, we're not burnt out at all. We love doing it. I mean, we love it, so it's easy to talk about it.
Say I listen to it when I'm at work 90% of the time. So
I'm sorry, man, but I appreciate that. We try. So,
I got to do something when I'm there with a couple of the other guys I'm just working with, and I don't want to listen to them anymore. So.
No, I found like I listen to podcasts. I don't really listen to a lot of hunting podcasts. But I find I listen a lot like on the way to work in the morning because it gets my brain moving. Yeah, it gets me like thinking and it gets me like warmed up. I got a 45-minute drive to work. So
I'm too busy worried about what I'm going to be doing at work to what it's like. And I usually try to make my hard stuff do it first and then
coast through the rest of the day. Yeah. Yep, so. See, I'm different. I guess I'm kind of being sarcastic, but I just don't think about work until I get there. And I'm like, all right, that's what I'm doing.
I just wait till I check my emails.
No.
Hey, Doug puts a sweater on when it's 90 degrees outside because he's sitting in the AC office.
Yeah, it gets cold.
Doug's our resident white-collar guy here on the podcast.
Yeah, wore a bad shirt. Yeah,
collared shirt, could you tell? Yeah.
So that was his penny loafers out there?
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly. His, what are they called? Me. What are those called?
Hey Dudes.
Hey Dude, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I definitely don't own a pair of those. I got a pair of Carhartt boots that hurt my feet. I had to do it
for my duck guide service.
Yeah, so we got Doug's kind of becoming his own gimmick.
Yeah.
Duck guide Doug, and we're not hunting ducks.
What are we hunting?
Well, I was gonna say something, but I had
also
to edit it.
I was also gonna say something too. Nothing.
I was like, well, that's gonna be an edit. I don't want to ruin your episode because I don't want you to share it to anyone else that's on Guild Hunt Archery Club and be like, those hooligans, damn them from New Windsor.
You'd probably be surprised at how many guys like I'm in.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, I can't say it now because the timing's off. But
Huntresses.
I was going to say.
The other whitetail.
Yeah. What's he hunting?
Yeah. Well, there it is.
I'll edit that. See what I'm doing? Writing down the time. That's how we edit at Working Class Blowing. We say shit we regret, and then I go through and edit it, and it makes it even funnier. Well, thanks, fellas. Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you for doing what you do for archery and the kids and everything. It's pretty setting awesome. Us up. Yeah, and setting us up, giving the shoot a home. And hopefully it all just goes smooth every year and you keep wanting us back. And it's a partnership that I'm sure that'll develop more and more as we go along. I hope anyway.
Partnership as far as I'm concerned forever.
I love it, man. So. We're in, dude. And I think once people come out and see the course and get to meet the people and the community and get that experience, I think everyone will be coming back.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
I expect all 143 people to come back this year and more, especially with everyone's been cooped inside.
Oh yeah. So
it might be a blowout and we're going to be going, oh shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Oh, this is going all weekend instead of just today.
Right. Doesn't bother me none. So.
Yeah, after party, come out and have some fun, drink a couple beers. Let's have a good time. Yep. Let's talk hunting, archery, podcasts, turkeys, bears, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be fresh back from a bear hunt. So.
Yep. Oh, yeah, you will.
Yeah, like that week.
Oh, man. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you'll be back that Saturday, and our shoot is the next Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to be – it's going to be hectic.
Yeah, you and Eric.
Didn't you do that last year, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it'll be fun.
Hey, we'll make it work.
I'll check out before I have to check back in.
There you go.
We'll just pile all that work when I'm gone on Doug. It'll be fun.
There you go.
All right.
Oh, shit.
I got to hold a Dan Smeltz from PA and see if he's coming again.
I'm sure he's coming.
I know I put my order in for Yingling.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I was going to, yeah, I'm sure. Well,
you're probably in a truckload.
If Dan doesn't bring Yingling, this is what we do. Hey, if you're coming from out east where they sell Yingling, bring some Yingling to the shoot. And there you go. There's Yingling coming to the shoot.
Sure.
That's how it works. Our listeners got our backs, man. If we say we need Yingling, or if I say I need Creekwater whiskey, shout out to, I call him John from Georgia, a listener down there, John Rose. He sends me bottles of Creekwater whiskey. So shout out to him. You can't get it around here. So. He's got our back. It's a true homie right there. All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.